Ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, please be outstanding for the arrival of the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Nola Dunn, and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Got a few new faces. Good to see. Just like to highlight to those that are first newcomers that this is a meeting, so there'll be no... Their silence must be maintained by the members of the public in the gallery at all times. A visitor to the gallery must not interject or take part in the debate that occurs in the chamber, but I'm quite more than happy for anyone that has any questions or queries to talk to us later or contact a councillor if you've got any queries or questions. We have the opening prayer. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve.
Amen.
Reconciliation statement. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants, past and present. May be seated. Thank you. Item 2, apologies and leave of absence.
Apology this evening from the Mayor, Councillor Ramsey.
Item 3, changes to the order of business.
There are no changes.
Item 4, deputations.
No deputations.
Item 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Madam Chair, I have an indirect interest in agenda item 18.1, minutes of the Club Caroline Springs Grants Assessment Panel meeting under confidential business, and I have provided the CEO a copy of the conflict of interest declaration prior to this meeting as per the requirements of the Local Government Act 1989.
Thank you. Item 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on 11th of August 2015 and special meeting of Council held on the 1st of September 2015 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Do I have a seconder?
I'll be seconding, Madam Mayor.
All those in favour? Motion's been carried. Item 7, correspondence inward. 7.1, parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor. We have one attached from the Senator, the Honourable Scott Ryan, in regard to permanent funding for the National Partnership Agreement on Universal Access to Early Childhood Education. Do I have someone move?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd be happy to move the recommendation that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted as the list of appendices 1 explains.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Oops. I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Motion has been carried. Item 8, petitions and joint letters.
We have no petitions or joint letters this evening.
Thank you. Item 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
There is no business requiring resumption.
Item 10, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have four questions this evening. The first question is from Andrula Tuvana, who's in the gallery. Question reads, could each councillor please give me a number of signatories they think is a fair number of petitioners that would need to sign a petition in order for each councillor to vote to rescind the bylaws proposed at the ordinary council meeting of the 14th of July 2015? This question poses some problems because the bylaws referred to have not as yet been adopted by council and are in fact the subject of a report this evening. So the bylaws can actually be, or local law, can actually be varied at any time up until it is formally adopted by the council. And it's not proposed in the recommendation appended to that report this evening for adoption, but rather that the local law be considered for adoption at the next meeting of council. With respect to the reference to rescinding the motion also from 14th of July, the motion of the 14th of July had four parts, and each and every one of those parts has now been actioned, and a motion that is actioned cannot be rescinded regardless of any attempt to so do. Therefore, the question is somewhat rhetoric in nature. The next question, Madam Mayor, is also from Andrula Tuvana, and it reads, in respect to the proposed local bylaws, will Council be employing additional local laws officers to police compliance? For example, will Council employ wheelie bin inspectors to ensure no vacuum cleaner contents are emptied in bins? Will Council conduct DNA testing to identify the former owner of any hair that may end up in a bin to ensure where liability lies for the penalty to be issued? How will Council determine who actually put the hair into the bin to ensure the appropriate imposition of penalty? Will Council employ odour inspectors to ensure the cleanliness and sanitary standard of bins? How did Council determine that such laws are necessary? Mr. Les Stokes, the Acting General Manager of Planning and Development, will respond.
Thanks, Cal. The proposed general local law with respect to prohibited waste is consistent with the existing local law. Council is not proposing to employ additional local laws officers as a direct result of the retention of the prohibited waste clause within the new local law. Any enforcement related to prohibited waste is carried out against a person in accordance with the wording that's provided in the local law. And as part of the development of the proposed general local law, council officers benchmarked against other councils, and by and large we are consistent with others. Council's waste collection vehicles are actually fitted with cameras to monitor the contents of mobile bins, and with respect to hair in particular, the local law targets the correct disposal of waste from home occupations such as hairdressers, and as the waste is collected in council-provided mobile bins and transported to approved landfill facilities, it's important that the waste collected in these bins meets the standards required for household refuse. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. The next question is from Mr. David O'Connor, who's in the gallery. Question reads, with respect to the proposed 2015 General Local Law, Clause 67, what alternative parking arrangements does Council suggest for self-employed owner drivers whose heavy motor vehicles do not exceed an unladen weight of more than 3 tonnes, however are registered with a gross vehicle mass over 4.5 tonnes? Response to this question will be given by Mr. Ian Stewart, Acting General Manager of Corporate Services.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The draft local law requires that a person cannot park in a residential area a vehicle in excess of 4.5 tonnes gross vehicle mass without a permit. Any person with a vehicle in excess of this provision can apply for a local law's permit. Council will consider each permit application on its merits. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Stewart. The last question this evening is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, in accordance with item 11.11, response to notice of motion 392 on tonight's agenda, would Council please provide some clarification with respect to a proposed new lease agreement with the Melton and District Historical Society? It's my understanding that the Historical Society lacks the membership base to adequately fulfil the current obligations to be open to the public for a minimum of 10 hours per week. Mr. Michael Tudball, Acting General Manager of Community Services, will respond.
Thanks, Mr. Tory, through you, Madam Chair. The terms of the most recent licence agreement dated the 3rd of April 2000 state a number of requirements, including opening hours, and is due for a review. In the context of tonight's report, Council will determine how best to engage the community on future uses and access to the Willows Park and Homestead. Thanks.
That completes public questions for this evening, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. We move on to item 11, presentation of staff reports.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the following reports in block and accept all office recommendations as stated in the following reports: 11.1, 11.4, 11.5, 11.7, 11.12, and 11.14. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Do I have a seconder to that motion?
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So we move on to item... Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm jumping the gun here. So, all those in favour of the motion? Motion is carried. Now we shall move on to item 11.2, policy review panel minutes. Presenter... Mr. Ian Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Deputy Mayor. I wish to present the policy review panel minutes from the 4th of August 2015. The purpose of the report is to present the minutes of the policy review meeting held Tuesday, the 4th of August. The recommendation is that the Council note the minutes of the policy review meeting held on the 4th of, on Tuesday, the 4th, and adopt the recommendations arising within. In terms of at the policy review committee, they considered the borrowing policy, the asset management policy, media policy, mentorship policy, volunteer policy, arts and cultural advisory committee terms of reference, and the councillor representation nomination advisory committee terms of reference. And I present the rest of the report for information.
Thank you. Do I have a mover to this question?
Clarification. Any clarification?
Oh, any clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have some clarification. Madam Chair, sorry. On page 28, where it has all comments to the media should portray the Mayor and councillors as a united team working for the betterment of the city, and then it's got the Council's Code of Conduct is applicable regarding this media policy. I'd just like to ask my fellow councillors if that, or if they agree that that perhaps should be removed, because we all know, and I'm sure that members of the gallery who have attended, that we don't always get along as councillors, and we do have different views. And I'd like to see that dot point, please, removed. And also, where it's got 4.2.1 councillors, all council initiatives should go through the appropriate governance channels. For example, in a motion with notice or without notice at a council meeting before being expressed to the media, and again, then the councillor's code of conduct is applicable regarding this media policy. I believe that councillors should have the right, whether or not whatever idea it is, that they should do with it as they please. If they wish to go to the media before or announcing their initiative, they should be able to do so. Also, sorry, Madam Chair, I have one more. In terms of reference, where it's got Councillor Representation Nominations Advisory Committee, page 44, under membership 4.1.1, that the committee will be comprised of all Melton City councillors only. I have an issue with this as well. I believe that the CEO should be present. I do read that it says that there will be Council staff may attend only for the purpose of providing relevant information and advice and the taking of minutes. However, when I do read that, and as it seems to me, saying that the committee will only comprise of all Melton City councillors only, councillors would then have the right to vote and vote those officers out of the room and then continue. That's how I read what could happen. I'd feel more comfortable if there was a dot point put in there that said that the CEO and corporate services were to be present during the whole meeting. So you want to move that as a motion? Yes, please, Madam Mayor, if my fellow councillors are happy with those extra dot points.
Yep. Is there a mover to that motion?
A second.
Oh, sorry. Is there a seconder to that motion? No seconder?
Lapse.
Okay. Yeah. The motion lapses for want of a seconder. So revert back to the original motion.
Madam Chair, I'm happy to move the motion with some amendments that Councillor Carley has mentioned. In regards to the comments that she mentioned on page 28, that all comments to the media should portray the Mayor and councillors as a united team working for the betterment of the city. I understand what Councillor Carley is saying, that councillors have the right to go to the media and express their individual opinion, and I actually did bring this matter up to the policy review panel members. And the couple of sentences up, it actually says that in making comments to the media, any personal views of councillors on issues that may be contrary to council adopted position or on matters yet to be considered by the council should be clearly identified as the personal views of that councillor. So basically what our councillor code of conduct says, that we should be seen as, or we should be working as a united team. However, in the case, and it very often does happen, that a councillor has contrary views to the group's, to the council view, they can do so, but they need to identify that the personal views of the councillor are what they are. And in the past, I don't believe that has ever been an issue. The councillor has actually stated that it is their personal view. In regards to the 4.2.1 about the initiatives, I agree that that could be removed. I found that to be a slight issue as well, especially coming up to elections. It is difficult to, I guess, you know, the media does and the residents do ask councillors what they will be running for, and it will be difficult to do so if that actual clause is in there. So I don't mind that coming out. And in regards to the issue of page 44, the committee will be comprised of all Melton City councillors only. Generally, the CEO and the Manager of Community Services are there present anyway. We can add that in the composition, but we should also add that they do not have any voting rights, as is stipulated generally in the terms of reference. If an officer doesn't have voting rights, then it should be stipulated. But I don't have an issue with them joining us in the committee. However, it should be stipulated that they don't have any voting rights. If Councillor Carley is happy with that.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm happy with that. I totally agree. The CEO and the Manager of Corporate Services, that could say that they don't have any voting rights, which I already thought that they wouldn't. But in saying with item where I read out, sorry, that all the comments to the media should portray the Mayor and councillors as a united team working for the betterment of the city, I still feel that that should be removed. And as Councillor Malik did read the above statement, I mean, it goes to show that councillors, if they do have different views, which in this case, in this council, that's all the time, if we do, we should be able to voice them. Yes, I understand, but I just feel that that clause in there, and then finishing it off with the councillor's code of conduct is applicable regarding this media policy, that it could be thrown back at that councillor who does have a different point of view, that the councillor's code of conduct would then would then take place. I just feel that, I mean, it's already above Councillor Mailey credit already. I don't see why that just sentence can be removed.
So I think Councillor Maylick was moving a motion. Yeah. Do we, I guess,
so referring back to Councillor Maylick's original motion about inserting 4.2, the CEO, or 4.1.1, the CEO and corporate services with no voting rights.
Happy with that. Yeah. Councillor Carley seems to be happy with that.
But against the not and incorporating the remainder. But no, deleting 4.2.1.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I will not be happy with deleting 4.2.1. I would think that Councillor Carley is aware that the Councillor Code of Conduct is applicable in all and every situation. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a policy. And it is actually highlighting our Councillor Code of Conduct. So if there's an issue with that, I know we're not in debate, yeah, Madam Chair, but I'm not happy to scrap that one.
Okay. So to just double check. So 4.2.1, you want to retain that?
Yes.
Okay. And in the making comments to the media?
Happy to delete that.
You're happy to delete that as...
Is that all comments to the media should portray?
Yep.
So happy with that then?
Sorry, so Madam Chair, sorry, 4.2.1, the initiatives...
Yep.
I believe we've agreed that that can be scrapped.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
4.1.2, all comments to the media should portray. Perhaps even if we can add on to that sentence and reiterate, should be clearly, if the councillor has adopted a position other than contrary to the council, should be clearly identified. So that can probably, I don't know if that would appease Councillor Carley, but I do want that to remain.
Okay, so we've had a mover to this motion. Do we have a seconder? Or there's a bit of clarification required by...
Oh,
do
you need to clarify?
Yes, can you clarify?
No, you clarify.
Can you clarify the motion, please, Madam
yep.
Chair?
No,
do you want me to...
Yes, please.
What I believe is before the Chair is that the recommendation be adopted with the amendment to the policies referred to as... Part 4.2.1 in the media policy be deleted, and the addition to 4.1.2 in the terms of reference for the committee appointments committee, that the Chief Executive and General Manager Corporate Services to attend the meeting in an advisory capacity.
So do we have a seconder to that motion?
Sorry, I just had something else. Sorry, Mr. Tory, I was just going back to what you said. Removing 4.21, adding yourself and corporate services to 4.1.1.
Yep.
And what was it in regards to the all comments to the media should portray the mayor and councillors as a united team working for the betterment of the city? Was that to be removed?
No, my understanding was Councillor Madeley motion proposes for that to remain.
Okay, to remain.
However, I did make note that at the end of that sentence, so working for the betterment of the city, then add on in making comments to the media any personal views. So changing that paragraph straight to make it more clear that comments should portray the mayor and councillors as a united team. In making comments to the media, any personal views of councillors on issues that may be contrary to the council adopted position should be clearly identified. So swapping that to make it more clarified, to be a little bit more clarified that there should be unity in the council. However, if a councillor sees it fit to contrary, then they can say it.
I'm happy with that. Thanks.
Okay, Madam Chair. Do we have a seconder to the...
I'll second that. Thanks. Okay.
Show of hands, those in favour? Motion carried. Okay. 11.3. Mr. Tudball.
Thanks, Madam Chair. You have before you, councillors, the minutes of the Melton Weir Development Advisory Committee held on the 18th of June of this year. The minutes are there for your absorption. There are a couple of recommendations and a number of actions within the minutes, and the two recommendations that are incorporated into your paper that the minutes were endorsed by the committee, so they're there for you to note. And the other recommendation within was that there was a motion at the meeting that the name Melton Weir Development Advisory Committee be amended to the Melton Reservoir Development Advisory Committee. The rest of the minutes and papers are there for you, and the recommendations reflect that Council notes the minutes of the meeting and adopt the recommendations arising from within the minutes. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr Tuttle. Does any Councillor seek clarification on this item? I'd like to actually rise and move an amendment to the recommendation accepting items 1 and 2, but to add a dot item 3, and that is to endorse an extension to the current 2-year term for members of the committee for a further 12 months. Do I have a seconder to that?
Happy to second that, Madam Chair.
Do I have a show of hands? Motion is carried. Item 11.6, General Local Law 2015 S223 consultation. Mr. Ian Stewart. No? Dan Hogan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Part 5 of the Local Government Act 1989 details the authority, restrictions and procedure for councils to make local laws for the good governance and amenity of the municipality. In layperson's terms, to make this a great place to live. Specifically, Clause 111 allows that a council may make local laws for or with respect to any act, matter or thing in respect of which the council has a function or power under this or any other act. The current general local law has been in effect within the municipality since 2005, and under Section 122 of the Act will automatically be revoked 10 years from the date it came into operation. Consequently, Council has reviewed the general local law 2005 and has developed a revised version. The proposed general local law 2015 takes into account various changes to superior legislation over the last 10 years and also includes a number of changes to reflect contemporary standards and expectations of local amenity and enjoyment of the municipality. It should be noted, however, that the majority of the content is a simple replication of the content currently in force under the existing general local law. In accordance with Clause 223 of the Act, Council has invited submissions from interested parties and members of the community to comment on the proposed General Local Law 2015 for the consideration of Council. It is for this reason that the Officer's Report is in front of Council tonight, in order to respond to community feedback as required under legislation. The report is not intended for Council to adopt a new General Local Law. In order to help the community understand the changes and likely effect of any incoming local law, a community impact statement was developed as a companion piece to the draft, illustrating any material changes from the current to the proposed. This document was tabled along with the draft General Local Law 2015 at ordinary meeting of Council July 14, 2015, when Council first commenced the necessary statutory procedures for making a new General Local Law. Tonight, having received 6 submissions over the best part of a month, listed as Appendices 3 through 8 respectively, attached to Appendix 2 is a summary of their submissions, including analysis and recommendations to assist Council in their deliberations of improving the draft document. Only one minor amendment to the proposed General Local Law 2015 is recommended. The reasons for or against amendments are also detailed within. I offer the report to Council as statutory obligation and for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. I'd like to rise again and make an amendment to this recommendation. I have significant concerns for unintended consequences of the proposed local laws that could inadvertently restrict the reasonable and otherwise lawful use and enjoyment of private property. I therefore move the following motion, and just bear with me. The first one remains the same. Receive public submissions under Section 223 of the Local Government Act 1989 in respect of the proposed General Local Law 2015.
Madam Mayor, point of order, I think a councillor has a question.
Sorry, we didn't get into clarification. I just have one question, Madam Mayor, Madam Chair, in regards to this. Mr. Hogan, I've been contacted by a lot of my residents in regards to the proposed local law, and especially in regards to parking on nature strips. Could you give me a little bit more information about that and how this local law will...
Certainly.
..what it will do to parking on nature strips and possibly getting fined?
Certainly. Through you, Madam Chair. The local law itself doesn't govern the parking on nature strips or footpaths. The Road Safety Road Rules 2009, enacted by the Road Safety Act 1986, actually governs the parking on nature strips, footpaths, etc. So it's actually a separate piece of legislation, a superior piece of legislation, and the local law itself, both the current version and also what is proposed, the 2015, doesn't actually govern that. However, what may have caused some confusion for members of the public is that Clause 14 of the proposed local law does make it an offence to park vehicles upon a reserve. That is a council reserve or a park, as opposed to a road reserve or a nature strip or something on those nature. So obviously any pocket parks throughout the municipality or some of the larger reserves, illegal to park upon those. So I do draw that distinction.
Any further clarification? I shall rise again. Sorry, I'll continue on with. Item 2 is incorporate the amendment proposed in Appendix 2 to the proposed General Local Law 2015 as recommended, with the exception of Submission 5, Officer Recommendation Item 65-B in reference to shipping containers. Item 2A would be to amend Clause 65, shipping containers, to restrict the clause to apply within residential zone only. 2B, amend Clause 57, camping on another's land, and Clause 58, allowing others to camp, to allow camping for a period not exceeding 24 continuous hours, to make it consistent with Clause 56, clamping on roads and public places. And then Item 6 would then be notify in writing any person who may... So just a continuation, but just renumbering to allow for those amendments.
Madam Chair, could I also make an amendment to your added on amendments? And amend Part 6, Animal Control, Clause 81, Animal Numbers, Section AIII under Poultry, and keep the status quo as per the previous local law where the number of poultry was permitted was 12. In this local law, it's suggesting 10. We have received a submission under that particular item, and I would like to ask councillors if they would support keeping it at 12 and not 10.
So do we have a seconder to that?
Well, if you're happy to incorporate that into your motion.
I'm happy to incorporate that. There's no other further.
So will Councillor Maidley second your motion on that?
Oh, yep. Happy to second that motion with those amendments, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do we have a show of hands support of the motion? Declare the motion carried.
Can I call for a division, Madam Chair?
Yes. Hands up again, please. Those in favour? Councillor Carley, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner, Councillor Majorly, Councillor Cugliari. Oh, sorry, and Councillor Dunn.
Call the division carried.
Oh, division carried. Sorry. 11.8, response to notice of motion 402, impact of proposed rate capping framework. Presenter.
Yes, me.
Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. The purpose of this report, councillors, is to respond to a notice of motion in relation to the consequences of rate capping in Melton City Council and to inform council of the short and longer term impact of implementation of the proposed rate capping framework. Draft report outlining the proposed framework for rate capping was released by the Essential Services Commission on the 31st of July, with Council having provided its response with a submission as directed at the August meeting of Council. Council does have in place an adopted strategic resource plan as required under the legislation, and the indicative annual increase in the level of rates contained within that strategic resource plan is based on 5% per annum. The table contained within the report on page 489 shows the historic actual rate increases, inclusive of the municipal charge, and the number of rateable properties at the start of each year, and hence the average rates per property applying in the City of Melton and the predecessor Shire of Melton. The actual rate increases over the past 10 years have varied from a low of 1.8% to a high of 8%, with an arithmetic simple average over the 10-year period of 4.6% per annum. The indicative rate caps for the next 3 years, as detailed in the draft report from the Essential Service Commission, are based on the May 2015 forecast of the Department of Treasury and Finance. They are, in 2016-17, 3.05%, 2017-18, 2.85%, and 2018-19, 2.8%. Based on the indicative rate cap and comparing it to the content of Council's strategic resource plan, over the next 3 years, so in the relatively short term, the difference in rate revenue cumulative would be $11,347,296. In terms of the medium-term impact on council revenue through the years of 2019-20 to 2025-26, assuming a similar growth scenario and assuming what could have been, because our strategic resource plan doesn't extend that far, but if you assumed that a constant rate of increase applied, then the difference coming from having a rate-capped environment to a non-rate-capped environment, cumulative over that period, which would by then be 10 years, would be an additional $58.3 million. In the report, it is noted that Council will need to investigate a number of items in a rate-cap environment. It will be necessary for Council to look for other sources of revenue, maximising grants, fees and charges, etc., and benchmarking Council's charging regime with that at other councils. Secondly, to consider application for a variation to the rate cap in order to continue to provide the same level of service and capital works. Thirdly, to undertake service reviews to identify efficiencies and or reductions in service areas or levels. Fourthly, to consider reductions or variations to the capital works program, which may have significant implications for Melton as a growth council and the facilities required or demanded by a growing community. And finally, to review our borrowing policy with a view to perhaps greater use of debt financing to offset some of the other revenue restrictions. So, Madam Chairperson, the recommendation is the Council note this report and forward a copy of this report to the Municipal Association of Victoria. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. May I just rise and ask a question? When we talk about the rate capping, is the municipal charge also included that?
Yes. At the moment, no ministerial decision or government decision has been made. No legislation has passed the Parliament. But the recommendation in the draft report from the Essential Services Commission was that the rate cap apply to the general rate and the municipal charge, but not to any special rates and charges that are levied to recoup specific costs related to specific projects, and not on service charges such as garbage charges, which are cost recovery. The other exclusion is the fire service levy, which is collected through councils but is actually a state government charge and is remitted by council to the government.
Thank you. Any council require clarification on this item? Do I have a mover to this?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move but also make a following dot point three. To forward a copy of this report to the Minister of Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, the Premier of Victoria, Daniel Andrews, the State Opposition Leader, the Honourable Matthew Guy, the local members of Parliament, both upper and lower houses of representatives that encompass Melton's municipalities' borders.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder to this motion?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to second this and in doing so say that as councillors we work very hard to try and strike a balance between rate rises and the supply of services and growth of capital works in our community, and I think we do a pretty good job. We've all got our own opinion, man. And I'd just like to say that I thank the officers for the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a show of hands in favour of the motion? Those against? I declare the motion carried.
Debate. Madam Chair, I'd like to reserve my right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I've stood in these chambers for quite a number of times now and have said that I support rate capping. It was something that I was pushing for when first elected onto this council with Councillor Borg. Unfortunately, it was not supported back then, and it took the state government, the Daniel Andrews Labor government, to enforce us councils to do it. When I read this report and I look at what council will need to invest, or what we need to investigate all the following in a rate cap environment, there should actually be an extra dot point there to say that council should watch the way they spend ratepayers' money. Time and time again, I've seen this council spend ratepayers' money like lollies with ratepayers' money. I believe that when we speak about rate capping, it's many councillors, I think, have put the fear in our community to say, we're going to cut your services and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. In fact, I believe that we can cap rates and still deliver those services. Bless you. I believe that as a council, we need to just rein in some of our expenses and look at where we're spending our money and make sure that we are listening to the community and what the community's needs are, not councillors' wants. Thank you. Councillor Madlick has the right to reply. Sorry?
Any other
councillor? Any other councillor wish to speak?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd just like to say that every year we do exactly what Councillor Carley's asking us to do. We look very hard at the budget, and I think we're very frugal with it. Thank you.
Any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Madley, have a
thank
right
you, Madam Chair. Councillors, this was a notice of motion that was requested by the MAV strategic meeting earlier this year as to what sort of short and long-term effects rate capping would have on council's budget, and as the MAV delegate, I therefore brought this matter and request to my fellow councillors. This notice of motion has nothing to do with not supporting the cap rates. It is basically an informative report. We see that Council's budget in the short term, the first 3 years, there will be an $11.3 million shortfall, and in the long term, a staggering $58.3 million. With 42 babies being born every week, that's a kindergarten class and a half. Where are we going to fit these kids, Madam Chair? Obviously, Council will work within its permitted guidelines. However, it is important to let the residents know that there will be some consequences to rate capping. Whether there be a delay on some of the capital works program or increased borrowings or even applying for a rate cap exemption, residents need to be aware that the rate capping, there will be consequences. It's got nothing to do with fear. It's all got to do with information. I thank the officers for the report as it gives Council and the residents a better idea of what is involved in a rate capped environment.
Thank you. So do I have a seconder to this motion? Okay, do I have a show of hands again for the motion? And those against? I declare the motion carried.
Madam Mayor, or Madam Chair, I call for a division, please.
Those in favour of the motion? Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner, Councillor Majorly, Councillor Cagliari, Councillor Dunn. And those against? Councillor Carley. I declare the division carried. Thank you. 11.9, draft annual financial statements and performance statements, 3rd of June 2015. Councillor Tory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This report is brought to councillors seeking approval in principle for the draft annual financial statements and performance statement for the 30th of June 2015, prior to them being submitted to council's auditor in accordance with Section 132, subsection 2 of the Local Government Act 1989. Accounts have been prepared in accordance with the Local Government Act 1989, the Local Government Planning and Reporting Regulations 2014, the Australian Accounting Standards, and other mandatory professional reporting requirements. For the purpose of Section 132, subsection 2 and 132, subsection 5 of the Local Government Act 1989, Council must not submit the annual financial statements and performance statement to the Auditor or the Minister unless it has passed a resolution giving its approval in principle to the statements. Council must authorise two councillors to certify the statements in their final form after any changes are recommended or agreed to by the Auditor. In accordance with Sections 133, subsection 1 of the Local Government Act 1989, Council must submit the statements to the Minister within 3 months of the end of the financial year. The annual or the draft financial statements were presented to the Audit Committee of Council at its meeting on the 26th of August, where they were extensively discussed and reviewed, and the Audit Committee has recommended that Council approve the statements prior to them being submitted to the Auditor, as required under the Local Government Act. Therefore, Madam Chair, I recommend to Council this evening that Council, one, approve in principle the draft annual financial statements and performance statement for the 30th of June 2015, and two, authorise Mayor Councillor Ramsay and Deputy Mayor Councillor Dunn to approve the statements in their final form after any changes recommended or agreed by the Auditor have been made pursuant to Sections 132 subsection 2 and 132 subsection 5 of the Local Government Act 1989. Thank you, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Do I have any councillors seek clarification on this item? Do I have someone to move this?
I'm happy to move the motion, Madam Chair.
Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it, Madam Chair.
Do I have a show of hands in favour?
Madam Mayor, just to make a note, if I can, for the record, I know my agenda's been a little bit everywhere. I haven't been given proper documentation, and it's just been brought to my attention that Councillor Miles has a copy of the actual statements, which I do not. So I won't be opposing this, but I will be abstaining because I don't feel that I'm fully informed of what's actually going on, and I don't think I could let the residents sit here while I read through all of that. So I'm sorry, but I will be abstaining from that.
Absolutely.
Madam Chair, may I rise to ask that this item be deferred? Is that possible legally? Or a special council meeting be... I'd hate for Councillor Carley to miss out on...
That would be great, Mr. Tory, if I could, just so I can be fully informed.
Council can defer it to a special meeting. It would need to be a special meeting because these must be presented to the auditor in the very near future in order to meet the three-month requirement. But
do we have councillors in agreement with this?
I'm happy, well, Madam Chair.
So, yeah, we need a motion to defer. We have a motion before us which needs to be withdrawn, firstly, because we have a motion.
Oh, sorry, Madam Chair. So I'm happy to withdraw the notice of motion and defer the item to either a special meeting of council to make sure that the legal requirements are taken care of so Councillor Carley can read through the notes.
Do we have someone second that?
Councillor Cooley already seconded that motion and needs to consent to the withdrawal.
Okay, so do we have a show of hands for this motion to defer?
No, we need...
I'll second it.
Okay,
Madam Chair.
Okay. This time, do we have a show of hands to defer this item? You look a bit perplexed, Miles, no? Do we have a show of hands, sorry? I declare that motion carried. 11.10, Annual Action Plan Reporting 2014-2015. Michael
Tappel. Thanks, Madam Chair. This report before you is the subset, if you like, of last month's report, which was a new Annual Action Plan that you will recall put forward the actions for the new year. This report's also consistent. You'll find that there were some carryover actions, so to speak, that couldn't be completed in the time frame that had been incorporated into the new plan. The previous action plan, 14-15, provided 106 actions that Council committed to deliver. And the Appendix 1 shows all of the detail, but just across the page, on page 2, you'll see a summary of 84 of those actions that were completed, 14 that are progressing and will be achieved by the revised target date of the end of this calendar year, 31st of December 2015, 7 behind schedule, expected to be completed by the 30th of June 16, and they've been incorporated into the new annual action plan, and there's one action that's been deferred due to matters beyond Council's control, which totals the 106 that you have before you. There's much detail in the attached report, Madam Chair, and happy to answer any questions on the report. The recommendation is that Council receive and note the 14-15 end-of-year annual action plan report. Thank you,
Mr. Tuttle. Any councillors seek clarification on this? Do I have someone to move this?
Madam Chair, I'm happy to move the notice of motion, and I commend the community services team for delivering over 100 actions for our community.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Do I have a show of hands in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. 11.11, response to notice of motion 392, Willows Park and Homestead. Mr. Tuttle again.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. The purpose of this report is to respond to notice of motion number 392 by your good self regarding opportunities for increased access to the Willows Park and Homestead. There's a preamble there of what you asked Council to go away and investigate. Officers have investigated the current utilisation of the Willows Park and Homestead, in particular the activities of the Melton and District Historical Society, and the current community usages were also reviewed. That's a very hard word. Opportunities were identified to improve community access to the park and more specifically to support the Melton and District Historical Society to provide increased access to the Willows Homestead. Additionally, the need to develop a new lease agreement was identified during the course of the process of looking at that. What we have discovered, Madam Chair and councillors, is there are opportunities. And I guess what we've asked for in the recommendation there, number one, to note the report, but then also to endorse officers to discuss the terms of a new lease with the Melton District Historical Society, and also us to provide a future report to Council on the outcome of increased public access to the Willows Historic Park, inclusive of reviewing the existing user groups. And that is the content of the recommendations as well, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tuttle. I'd like to rise once again and put up an alternate motion that Council, one, note the report, two, officers seek community feedback via public consultation on ideas to increase usage, access and patronage of the Willows Park and Homestead, and three, officers present a future report to Council on options from the consultation. Do I have anyone with further clarification on this item? Do I have a mover, a seconder to this motion?
I'll be seconded, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do I have a show of hands in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 11.13 VCAT decision of application for planning permit number PA2014-4405 to 2 to 50 Miscos Road, Rockbank. Laura Jo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The purpose of this report is to advise Council on a recent VCAT decision regarding a planning application for materials recycling, concrete batching and a landscape garden supply on the land at 2 to 50 Miscos Road in Rockbank. The subject site of the planning application comprises 51 hectares and, as mentioned, is located at 2 to 50 Miscos Road in Rockbank and is bound by the Western Freeway to the north and the Melbourne to Ballarat rail line to the south. It's currently developed with a temporary rock crushing facility and a plant nursery and is located within the northern part of the Mount Atkinson precinct structure plan area. In May 2014, a planning application was lodged for the use of the land for materials recycling, incorporating a larger rock crushing facility, concrete batching plant and a landscape garden supply. Council received 422 objections to the application, including one from the Metropolitan Planning Authority and from a major landholder within the Mount Atkinson PSP area. The applicants lodged an application with VCAT against Council's failure to grant a permit within the prescribed time, and at its meeting of the 21st of October, Council resolved not to support the application at the VCAT hearing. However, resolved that if VCAT decided to support the proposal, Council would strongly recommend the submission of and re-advertising of amended plans relating to the relocating of the concrete batching plant and the materials recycle uses to the northwest portion of the site, and also the reduction of the duration of the proposal to 10 years. The VCAT hearing was subsequently heard over a seven-day period in April of this year, and on the 3rd of August 2015, VCAT directed that a planning permit application be granted subject to some 92 conditions which are contained within Appendix 2 for information. It should be noted that by Council that the permit requires the proposed development to be relocated to the northwest part of the site and limits the life of the permit to a total of 11 years or earlier if any significant developments commence within the PSP area, as outlined in Section 2 of this report. Recommendation, Madam Chair, is that Council note the submission.
Thank you, Ms. Mellor. Do I have any Council seek further clarification on this item? Do I have someone to move this item?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move this item and speak on it if I do have a seconder for it.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder?
I'll second it, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair. Look, I just wanted to make a comment that it is disappointing to read that even though there were 422 objections received, including from the Metropolitan Planning Authority, Mount Atkinson Holdings, and also this council was against this application, that it's disappointing to see that VCAT directed that a permit be granted. Very, very disappointing to hear for our residents and for this community. It is a small positive, though, that the length of tenure has been reduced. And when I say small, I mean very small, minute. I commend the officers for including the VCAT decision outcome in this report to better inform our, our residents when they start seeing these works happen. And with the 92 extra inclusions that are in here in their report, hopefully we'll get some sort of outcome that we can work with. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I've had a move and second. I have a show of hands. Both in favour, sorry. I declare the motion carried. 11:15, we've got Palmer's Road Environment Effects Statement and Planning Scheme Amendment C143 to the Melton Planning Scheme. Our presenter is Ms Mellon again.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The purpose of this report is to consider a proposed response to Vic Roads, who have prepared an environmental effects statement and planning scheme amendment documentation for the Palmer's Roads corridor, comprising of Calder Park Drive, Westwood Drive and Robinson Road. Vic Roads proposes to upgrade the Palmer's Road corridor to a six-lane divided road with a shared bicycle and pedestrian facilities on both sides of the road and the removal of two existing rail level crossings and the construction of two bridges over the Corroit Creek and a few raised freeway interchanges at the Calder Freeway. The Victorian Minister for Planning determined on the 13th of November that an Environment Effects Statement is required for the project under the Environment Effects Act of 1978. The Environmental Effects Statement process informs decision making on the project under the Victorian law and applies to the section of the corridor between the Calder Freeway and the Western Freeway. In addition to the Environmental Effects Statement, Vic Roads have also prepared two planning scheme amendments, C157, which relates to the Brimback Planning Scheme, and C143, which relates to the Melton Planning Scheme, and this is to enable Vic Roads to acquire the private land and exempt the project from needing a planning permit application. Melton City Council officers form part of a reference group that provided feedback on the preparation of the Environmental Effects Statement documentation and the Planning Scheme Amendment documentation. Vic Roads placed the Environmental Effects Statement and the Planning Scheme Amendments on public exhibition from Thursday the 30th of July 2015 until Monday the 31st of August 2015. Council officers requested an extension of time to make its submission in order to report to the Council meeting, and this extension has been granted until the 11th of September 2015. Council officers have reviewed the documentation, which are included in summary in the appendix in the report, and have identified a number of changes that should be made to the documentation, which are summarised in Section 1 of this report and discussed in more detail in Section 2. Once the Environmental Effects Statement and the Planning Scheme Amendment have been approved and a Cultural Heritage Managed Plan approved, Council will be in a position to commence the construction of the Westwood Drive Bridge over Corroit Creek, subject to future budget processes. It is therefore recommended, Madam Chair, that Council send a letter to Vic Roads as their submission in support of the Environmental Effects Statement and Amendment C143, to the Melton Planning Scheme, subject to some minor changes as outlined in the report, and also that a letter be sent to Vic Roads requesting that they finalise the Cultural Heritage Management Plan with Aboriginal Affairs Victoria following the finalisation and adoption of the EES and the Planning Scheme Amendment to the Melton Planning Scheme.
Thank you. Do I have any council clarification on this item?
Yes, Madam Chair. Is council or council officers aware of what type of works are proposed around the Burnside Retirement Village, as this is a section where the freeway will be duplicated? This is indeed a dangerous area of road for pedestrians and for road users trying to either cross the road to catch the bus or try and move their vehicles to cross the road. Particularly in the Burnside Retirement Village. So do we know any plans around this at the moment, or is it still early days?
Through you, Madam Chair. So the plan identifies generally there is a signalised intersection every 800 metres. In the vicinity of the Burnside Retirement Village, there's actually two signalised intersections proposed, which will result in safe pedestrian access across the road in the vicinity of the Burnside Activity Centre.
No further clarification?
One more clarification, Madam Chair. And the million-dollar question, time frame, when will we see this potentially happen?
So subject to this process, it will have to go to a planning panel process as well. So that's scheduled for later in this year. And then after that, it will be subject to VicRoads Capital Works programme in terms of the actual duplication of the road. But council can then look at commencing the works for the West Wood Drive Bridge following all the approvals.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Do I have a mover to this motion?
I'm happy to move the motion, Madam Chair, and looking forward to getting all the documentation that this council needs to go forward with Westwood Drive.
Do I have a seconder to that motion? I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Chair. Do I have hands show in support of the motion? I'll declare the motion carried. I get to reports from Delip, gets appointed to other bodies, and I shall start off with Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, on the 20th of August, I attended the Early Years Partnership meeting. We had Michelle, who is a Koori Engagement Support Officer for the Southwestern region, come and speak to us. She spoke to us about, she gave us a presentation and told us that currently there are 14 Koori children enrolled in four-year-old kindergarten in Melton, and this was great news to her. We also spoke, going back to Michelle, also in 2014 there was an increase of 25% of enrolments compared to 2012. So she showed us those statistics, and we also had a maternal child and health nurse come to speak to us about services that we offer, or the council services that we offer for parents who have newborns. The maternal child and health nurse also spoke to us in regards to 1 in 10 men suffer from postnatal depression and 1 in 6 women suffer from postnatal depression. We also had discussions in groups about child and family vulnerabilities. That was very interesting and very deep. She also showed us that there's this brochure that's going out to help new mums, and also maternal child and health nurses have done a little bit extra, and they've also got a questionnaire to see where they can help, what other issues they can help mums with, so which I think is a great initiative. We also spoke about Tweedle, which is Grandparents Matter, and it says here whether it be minding grandchildren so that the parents can return to work, or caring for children over holidays or sleepovers, helping out when illness occurs, or even if you are a primary carer, being a grandparent today is a complex role, and it sure is. And there will be a bit of a get-together at the Melton Library Learning Hub, 31 Mackenzie Street, Melton, on Tuesday the 15th of September, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's free, so for any grandparents that want to attend that, please do. On the 24th of August, I attended a Leisure Advisory Committee meeting. We had an update on the athletics hockey facility, and we spoke about the Sports Ice Forum, which took place, and also the Sports Awards Night, which took place last night. On the 26th of August, I attended the Youth Council meeting. We spoke about perhaps looking at different days to meet because the kids are coming up to exam times. They will also be sharing a tent at the Jeriwara Festival with the Youth Services Department, and we spoke about how to engage the youth on the day, the youth that were at the festival, and to discuss with them about what the Youth Consultative Council is all about. So that would be a great tent to go into. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hopefully for the last month, until next month when I will be appointed to some bodies. Unfortunately, I'm not appointed to any bodies, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the 19th of August, as part of the Emergency Management Committee, I attended a hotspots tour of the City of Melton, which took all the committee around different places in Melton where they're expecting if there's any challenges where there would be. So it was quite an eye-opening day. On the 24th of August, I was actually late for our leisure committee. I actually got there when they were wrapping up. It was one of the quickest meetings of the year, I think. So I apologise for that. The Hope to Home Advisory Committee was cancelled. And the called out meeting on the 26th of August was actually a finish of the, I think it's a 2 or 3 year tenure from the existing members of the committee. And the night was to thank those who had been on the committee for the past couple of years, and also to help them advertise with their communities for new members for the new revamped committee. And it's, it looks as if it's going to be a very good committee, and we're going to have a lot more community members on the new committee, which will be very good. And that's all as far as committees, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Badley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I attended the Audit Committee meeting, which the minutes are attached to tonight's agenda, and I also attended the Westwater Grants panel with yourself. It was great to see the community initiatives that were up for consideration. At this stage, the successful recipients are, it is confidential. However, I do believe a check presentation will be in order within the next few weeks. And I thank Belinda and Eddie from Westwaters for their participation in the process. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Magic. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I attended the Reconciliation Advisory Committee. We discussed the reconciliation policy, the action plan, and the Reconciliation Advisory Committee terms of reference for 2015. I also had a monthly assessment meeting at Caroline Springs. I also attended with yourself to the Ravenhall Prison Project Committee, being informed about the latest developments of the new prison being built. Thank you.
Thank you. I attended, along with Councillor Turner, the tour of the emergency management, and it was quite interesting to actually go down to the industrial area that we have down the southeast of the municipality and see some of these huge warehouses that we have down there, some that are a kilometre wide, so it's quite interesting to see some of the areas, business happening in our area. I also attended on the 22nd of the 8th, the Heritage Committee Assistance Fund, and once again I'm going to bang on about we've got the assistance funds now open, so there's brochures out the front if you know anyone that's got any heritage. We've already had quite a fair bit of interest this time around, so it's fantastic to see, but certainly if you know anyone that's got some heritage that needs something, a bit of funding, it's a dollar for dollar, so council's about the only council that actually offers the assistance fund to our heritage. I also attended the Ravenhall Prison Committee group, the Road to Zero, the Mayor's baby, so she unfortunately she was unable to attend that. And the 1st of the 9th, I also attended the Westwaters Grant Committee. Council representations and acknowledgements. 13.1, record of assembly of councillors in accordance with section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the recommendation that the record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda dated 18th of August, 25th of August and 1st of September 2015 be received and noted.
Do I have a seconder to this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do I have a show of hands in support of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 13.2, public address by each councillor. I'll start the other side now. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to highlight to everyone and briefly talk about what is happening this week. It's actually National eSmart Week from the 7th to the 11th of September. And many schools and libraries across Australia, including many primary and secondary schools in our municipality, are taking part in the first National eSmart Week to tackle the issue of cyberbullying and promote digital literacy. The web is a great place to learn, be creative and stay connected, but with one in every five young Australians found to be victims of cyberbullying each year and many other challenges young people face online. It's important that we Australians, the skills that they need to be responsible digital citizens. Throughout this week, National eSmart Week, libraries, schools and community organisations will share their eSmart expertise through fun activities that bring communities together and celebrate an eSmart Australia. This actually has been developed by the Alana and Madeline Foundation and is aimed to be creating positive and respectful inclusive cultures, reduce bullying and cyberbullying, and increase online safety. That's it.
Thank you. Councillor Madley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I attended the official opening of the Caroline Springs Rotary Club with Councillor Carley, where new members and the new president, Kathy Hall, were sworn in. It was a great evening and wonderful to see that Caroline Springs now has their own Rotary Club, their own Rotary branch. It will be great to see the fantastic things that come out of this group. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Madley. Councillor Turner.
Yeah, it's been a short month for me because I've been on a little holiday, which was good. Mm-hmm. It's good to see you have a break. But, yeah, the last couple of weeks has been good. On the 27th of August, I attended a short story competition at the library. It was a compilation of all the winning entries over the last couple of years. It wasn't actually a competition that night. And Melton City Council put together a book with all the compilations in, and it's a really good read. To follow up on that, on the following Monday, we had actually the community book launch, which was it's a compilation of short stories again, but it's actually short stories added into one. I've explained myself a bit better. Alice Neer, she wrote the first chapter. She's an award-winning author, and she wrote the first part of the first chapter. And then the two libraries in Melton and in Caroline Springs, both libraries had a team of youth who actually finished off the story, and each of them wrote a chapter each. And at the end of the book, there were actually two different books with the same start and a different finish. So it's a really good project. It's been going on for, I think, 3 years now, and it looks like something that's going to go on for years to come. Last night, we attended the Melton City Sports Nights Award. It was a really good night, and I know you were in, so was Councillor Miles. Mine's going. So I'll leave you guys to talk about that. But the two speakers on the night was Olympic free skier Lydia Lucilla, and also Kelly Cartwright, Paralympic and World Champion. She was fantastic to hear. She was really good. On the 5th of the 9th, that was on the Saturday, I attended Emergency Ready Communities, and that was a forum put together by Council and Wyndham to make their communities, the leaders in the community, more resilient. And it was a fantastic day. There was about 100 community leaders there on the day, including people from Red Cross, SES, VicPol, CFA, and many other community groups within Melton. That's enough, Madam Deputy.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Greatly that Councillor Turner has left me to talk about this. I attended the Melton Sports Awards night last night, and we were lucky enough to hear from two great presenters, Lydia, and I pronounce this always wrong, Lassala, I've pronounced it wrong, but the freestyler who won a gold medal in Vancouver, and the second was Madeline Hodges. And they were both two very strong women who talked about pushing the boundaries. And it was great to be inspired by them. Lydia talked about the fact that why she went into Vancouver and then Sochi more so was that she saw the men doing something. And she said, why can't the women do that? And so she just kept pushing and pushing and pushing until she did it. And at the Sochi, she went on and the technical terms are a full, double, full twist, something along those lines. But essentially it was a quadruple flip that the men had done, but none of the women had done. And she said, that's what we need to do. There's no reason why we can't do that. So it's great to see that she's not afraid to say, well, women are in this box and men are in that box. We're all in the same box and we can all do the same things. And the second one was Madeline. She is a Paralympic javelin. She was unfortunately born with her left arm missing from her elbow down. And it was great to hear her as a young child. She was with her older brother. She said, her older brother can do that, fully able, I can do it too. So he went off and did swimming. What did she do? She went off and did swimming too. And she got selected 2 years in a row for the under-19 state championships in the women's cricket team. And she was playing with fully able-bodied women. And she was doing just as well as they were. And it's great to see that there's not this, I'm missing something, I'm not an equal. I can go out there and do it. And in saying that, it was great to see that the the recipient of the Lydia Lasilla scholarship was a young lady named Jamie Lee. She's currently swimming, and I'm not, unfortunately, she's got an intellectual disability. And again, she hasn't gone back and gone, I can't do anything. She's now ranked first or second in Australia with regards to at least 4 swimming categories. And she'll be going off to Ecuador in a couple of weeks to go in the equivalent of the Paralympics, which they say is better because of the classes and the inclusion in this particular event. The Paralympics are great, but this particular swimming event encompasses more events. So it's great to see that she's pushing the boundaries, and somebody from Melton's doing that and getting involved. And then again, it got me thinking more about what goes on in our community and even just the community groups themselves. Like sports at both a junior and a senior level, not only do they think they give out, you get some physical and some healthy well-being out of that, you think about the social cohesion and the mental health that they bring. And more importantly, it goes beyond that to just the sports. We always think sports are just the cricket team, the netball team, the footy team. But it was great to see that the Scouts, the Caroline Springs Scouts, were included as a nominee in the inaugural Melton Sports Club of the Year. Because it's these sort of community groups, whether it be a footy team, a scout group, a knitting club, that bring people together and just create so much cohesion in our community. So I just want to say thank you to all those people who work hard to build these community groups. And, that's about it. I'll end it there.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Carley. It's a hard act to follow, isn't it? I reckon.
Madam Chair, on the 13th of August, I attended a public information session at the Caroline Springs Library Civic Centre for the Melton City Council Electoral Representation Review. On the 28th of August, I know Councillor Malik's touched on this, and I did go to the Caroline Springs Rotary. Well, they don't want to be called Rotary Club anymore. I nearly did that, so sorry. But that was a great night, and congratulations to Cathy Hall on being the first president for Caroline Springs Rotary. On the 2nd of September, Madam Chair, I attended the Caroline Springs RSL. We celebrated the unveiling of our We Salute You painting. You were there, Madam Chair, so was Councillor Bentley and Councillor Turner as well. That was a great evening. There was also an interactive show, which was just spectacular. What that gentleman painted in such a short time really blew me away. And there was also the exhibition there as well. And on the 4th of September, I attended an afternoon full of entertainment as we celebrated the launch of the new planned activity group for the Spanish-speaking seniors hosted by United Spanish Latin American Welfare Centre. And that was a great afternoon full of dancing, great food and just lots of fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I attended quite a few things, as I normally do. 14th of the 8th, I went to the Pop Culture, The Rear Window, which is another fantastic Alfred Hitchcock movie. It was great to see our new hall, the way they decked it out. So I'll just give it a plug if you needed the hall at all for a wedding function or anything like that. They set it up absolutely beautifully. And I gave it a test run on the following Saturday at a rock and roll dance, so I've given it the thumbs up. Not sure about the colour scheme, but the floor's fantastic. I attended the Caroline Springs RSL Vietnam Vets Luncheon on the 16th of the 8th, which was fantastic. And I think I won a box of chocolates in the raffle, which didn't last long. The 17th of the 8th, I attended the Partners of Vietnam Vets 10th birthday, which is a fantastic, and what a wonderful group of women they all are. Certainly would love to go away when they're let down their hair on a weekend. The 20th of the 8th, I attended the Western Metro MAB Delegate Meeting and the Western Region Biannual Forum. I also attended a trivia night for the Western Community Band, which made me realise I know nothing. I attended along with Councillor Turner, but he's quite smart. I attended the Caroline Springs RSL launch of the Men of Valour, and you were a bit remiss, Councillor Carley, because you didn't mention the auction where I could not put my hand down, and unfortunately, I think you weren't there actually, and I sort of felt a bit guilty, so my hand shut up and I ended up buying a $300 picture. And then I was followed soon closely by Councillor Turner, who also bought something for about $60, I think. So it never let me go at an auction. The 5th of the 9th, I went to the Motorcycle Riders Expo, which was absolutely fantastic, and the safety that they're actually pushing and the speakers that spoke. We had a very fantastic fellow from Vorts that first started off here, which is a victim of road trauma, a young fella whose name escapes me at the moment. I didn't write it down, but he described his accident, that he was actually on a motorcycle, and it was quite a great forum because I could hear all the hardened bikies behind me go, oh, my God, because this guy, when he showed how he was actually hurt, he was hurtling down. He said, admittedly, I was doing 100 to 110 in a 60k zone. Hit the side of a car. Of course, the bike was embedded in the car, and he was in a coma for 9 days. And he just brought up on the list on the overhead his injuries, and just one after another after another. They declared him dead. The parents were all called in, and it was really good to actually hear. He lost his eyesight. He said that one eye was sitting on his cheek and smashed broken bones everywhere. But it was really good to hear a lot of the hardened cyclists that don't leather up and don't helmet up, to hear them sort of gasping when they heard this boy speak and saw his injuries. So it was a fantastic expo, and I think we exceeded the numbers that were registered, which is fantastic. That was our third, and hopefully bigger and better things. And I also attended the Sports Award night, but I'm not going to try and follow Councillor Bentley's speak on that. Okay, number 14. Oh. Yep, we're right. Notices of motion. No notices of motion? Councillors, questions without notice? No. Motions without notice.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to present a motion without notice that Councillor Wright to Vic Roads asking for an urgent review be made of the traffic flow in and around Christie's Road, Western Highway, with a forethought to the soon-to-be-complete Ravenhall train station and the shocking traffic we'll have then. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Any more notices of motion? Motions without notice. Urgent business.
Madam Chair, I do have some urgent business. It's in regards to writing an official letter to express our deepest condolences to our Mayor and her two daughters, and I'm hoping that Council will consider this as urgent business.
Thank you, Councillor Majley.
So Councillor Majley's moving that mm-hmm. we consider it, so you need a second.
So do I have a seconder for that motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do I have a show of hands in support of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
So, Madam Chair, the motion reads, could I request that this Council write an official letter to our Mayor, Councillor Sophie Ramsey, and her two daughters, Eleanor and Bryony, sending and expressing our deepest condolences of the loss of her beloved daughter Samantha on behalf of this council and its residents.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for that?
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
And do I have a show of hands to support the motion? I declare the motion carried. Confidential business.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated from 18.1 to 18.5.
Do I have a seconder to that motion?
I'll second that, thanks.
Do I have a show of hands in support of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for putting up with me for my first ever time. I hope we didn't bore you, and I hope you come back and listen more often to these meetings. It's great to see a gallery that's full. Thank you.